This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Back in the day when my girls were born, it was not easy to share photos and videos with loved ones, but you have a fantastic option available, the Family Album app. The Family Album app was created in 2015 and has operated in the long term to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories. I love that there's no third-party ads, no unwanted eyes. Now, let me share some of the great features that make the Family Album app a go-to app. First off, the app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. No more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature about the Family Album app is you can order 8 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home. It's really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold onto or share to document each month of your baby's life. Plus, the Family Album app has unlimited storage and it is totally free. Yes, you heard that right. No more worrying about running out of space or being bombarded by ads when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. So if you are still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, it is time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, it's all one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love one photo at a time. Is it safe to drink caffeine in a pregnancy? Let's talk about it. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Whether you are a new listener or you've been here before, I'm so grateful you're spending some time with me today. So we're going to chat about the safety of caffeine in pregnancy. But before we get into that, I want to check in and see if you've made your birth plan yet. If you haven't, you definitely should. And I have a great class to help you called Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. The typical way that people make birth plans, filling out one of those templates or forms and taking it to the hospital during labor is completely ineffective. It does not work to help you have the birth that you want. Trust me, I know. I've been doing this for over 20 years. In my free class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way, I teach you a step-by-step process, the questions to ask during your prenatal visit so you make a birth plan that really is going to work to help you have the birth that you want. Folks, love this class. You can check it out at drnicolerankins.com/birth plan. Okay, let's talk about caffeine in pregnancy. So the first thing I want to say is that the data is really mixed on on this. And the quality of the data surrounding caffeine and pregnancy is actually kind of poor. It's considered poor on the scale of research studies. And I say that just so you know the type of information that's being used to come to the recommendations. It's also a challenging thing to study for a number of reasons. I'm going to share with you a few. One is that most of the time these studies are a retrospective assessment of caffeine intake, meaning they're asking people, hey, after the fact, right, after pregnancy, how much caffeine did you take in during your pregnancy? Or it's even like, how much caffeine did you take in last week? It's not like a real-time assessment of caffeine intake. And that's subject to something called recall bias, where people may not accurately recall how much caffeine that they took in. It's also difficult to estimate how much caffeine people are consuming for a number of reasons. It's challenging because there's a wide variation of caffeine content in beverages, and there are also big differences in serving sizes. The amount of caffeine in any particular beverage can vary. If it's coffee versus tea versus chocolate versus a soda versus an energy drink. Also, the portion sizes may vary. A typical cup is considered 100 milligrams of caffeine, but looking at analyzing caffeine content of different coffees from various coffee shops, it really varied from 72 milligrams of caffeine to 130 milligrams of caffeine per cup. So it really can be challenging. Also, depending on how the coffee or the tea is brewed can influence the amount of caffeine, as well as the brand of the product. That can influence the amount of caffeine as well. So it can be challenging to estimate. And the final thing that I'll mention is that these studies typically do not account for the fact that we each actually metabolize caffeine in a different way. Some people may be slow metabolizers of caffeine, meaning that caffeine is going to hang around in their blood a bit longer. Some people may metabolize it faster. And these studies really just don't take that into account. So it's a challenging thing to really look at. Now, with that being said, let me give you the information that we do have and our best recommendation about consuming caffeine during pregnancy. The first thing I want to say about this is that caffeine most definitely crosses the placenta. Okay, so I do want you to know that. And caffeine can be found in amniotic fluid. It can also be found in fetal blood. All right, so it will get into the amniotic fluid, will get into the fetal bloodstream. And the other thing to know is that pregnancy slows down the ability to metabolize caffeine the further along you get in pregnancy. So as you progress during pregnancy, your caffeine metabolism will slow down and it'll take longer for you to metabolize or break down that caffeine in your bloodstream. Okay, so it'll hang around longer. So just know that. So looking at the data, the studies that we have, the big picture is that higher levels of maternal caffeine consumption, that's above 300 milligrams per day, that would be around 3 cups of coffee per day, have generally been associated with adverse reproductive outcomes, okay? As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you. So higher levels, above 300, more than 3 cups a day, have been associated with adverse outcomes. Now, earlier studies suggested that lower levels of caffeine really had little or no impact, but some newer studies have produced conflicting results, including a couple that have shown some potential for harm. All right, so the data on lower levels of caffeine is a little bit mixed. Now, when we look at specific things, so when we look at fertility, at typical levels of caffeine intake, and typical level is considered up to 300 milligrams per day from all sources. So that would be coffee, that would be soda, that would be energy drinks, that would be tea, chocolate, all of that. There doesn't appear to be an association between caffeine consumption and your ability to get pregnant. All right. So those lower levels under 300 doesn't seem to cause any issues. When we look at pregnancy outcomes at typical levels of caffeine intake, and that's considered up to 300 milligrams per day, again, from all sources, there doesn't appear to be a convincing association between caffeine consumption and adverse outcomes. Okay, the data is a little bit mixed, but overall, there does not appear to be an association between congenital anomalies, between a miscarriage, between fetal growth restriction, where the baby's not growing as well, and preterm birth. All right. There does not appear to be an association if you drink caffeine up to 300 milligrams per day or take in caffeine up to 300 milligrams per day. Interestingly, drinking caffeine around the time you get pregnant and during pregnancy in moderate amounts can actually decrease the chances of developing gestational diabetes. I learned that actually drinking coffee outside of pregnancy can actually reduce your chances of developing diabetes. I was not aware of that. And then another study also showed that there was some protection between drinking moderate amounts of coffee and preeclampsia, interestingly enough. And then finally, when we look at childhood outcomes, if mom is a heavy, heavy drinker, like if you drink a lot of coffee, then it can result in neonatal withdrawal, but it does not affect IQ. And although the data is a bit conflicting, there are some large studies that have shown an increased risk of high weight gain and elevated BMI if mom drinks a lot of coffee. Also, shorter height if mom drinks a lot of coffee, and what's considered overactive behavior. So kind of like behavioral problems if mom drinks a lot of coffee. So the final result, when we look at all the data, look at everything, this is what ACOG recommends, is that yes, you can consume caffeine in pregnancy. Yes, but you want to limit it. And actually, this is the recommendation for if you are trying to get pregnant, if you are pregnant, or if you are breastfeeding, you want to limit that caffeine consumption to less than 200 to 300 milligrams per day. That is about 2 to 3 cups of coffee per day. That's what I personally did during pregnancy. I am a very regular coffee drinker, and I did not stop during either of my pregnancies. I drank roughly 2 cups of coffee per day. This is just my own personal experience, not science. Both of my children turned out fine. We didn't have any issues. Although my first one did have a rare intestinal malformation and also was a preterm baby. I don't think that was associated with caffeine intake, but I just say that in full disclosure about my own experience of drinking coffee. So that's the recommendation, to limit it to 200 to 300 milligrams per day. Again, a cup of coffee is going to be about 100 to 150. An 8-ounce cup of tea is going to be about 50 milligrams. A 12-ounce soda is about 40 milligrams. If you want to know the caffeine content of a beverage, there's a website called Center for Science and the Public Interest. I will link it up in the show notes. The website is www.cspinet.org/caffeine-chart. That's a lot to remember, so you can grab the link in the show notes. And it lists the caffeine content of a whole lot of beverages, like pretty much anything you can think of. Okay, so there you have it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And do check out my free birth plan class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. You will love it. It's going to give you some great information to help set you up for a successful, beautiful birth. You can sign up for that class at drnicolerankins.com/birth plan. So that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week. And remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.